All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Oh, cool. Welcome to the aquarium.
Ooh, I love an aquarium.
Me too.
It's been too long since I've been to one, so this is good.
It's good for us. Because this aquarium has fallen on hard times, and we're already inside, so you've already paid this admission. As part of the admission, we have to take home a fish.
Oh, is this like a fostering thing, or are they like, hey, it's yours?
It's big don't ask, don't tell energy.
Right,
like,
right.
We take the fish and then...
Right, then no more questions are... Yeah.
Yeah, no more questions are allowed.
Yes, okay. So I imagine like all the penguins are gone. I imagine like clownfish. Basically anything marketable is gone, probably.
That's the thing, is yeah. We got here real late. It's lots of scratch and dents, dude. I figured together, though, we could go through and we can kind of like dig through these cloudy, you know, things with this wand with a net on the end and see if we could find something, a random fish here. And then if it serves no purpose other than to make us sad, it will at very least suggest a game.
Okay. Do you want me to do mine first and then you can do yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, let's do it. I mean, there's not, like I said, there's not a whole lot going on. There's also, they lit in the Hungries.
You can't blame them. Times are tough.
No, I don't blame the Hungries. I'm just saying we got to hurry.
Yeah, okay.
Like, the Hungries are at our heels, dude.
Yeah, we got
Hungries at our heels.
That one fish hit that guy's eye like a big pizza pie. It was a moray eel.
That seems kind of forced. We didn't really have the fish coming out of the water or anything. Mm. I like the end of it, but the beginning of it, I don't really know how you got there. So
I was really just rushing toward that.
Yeah, and it's like it's respectable, but I just think that. Hey, oh shit, we gotta go.
Oh.
Okay, we gotta hurry up. Let's get the nets in.
Okay. To get in. Okay, I got mine.
Rambling. Okay. I don't know what kind of fish this is. I've never seen it before.
Oh, weird.
Hold on. Let me use an app.
Okay. I just got a jellyfish, and it's sucking on top of my head right now. So. Oh,
Jesus Christ, dude. Let me get that out of your hair.
Okay, thank you.
Ah!
Yeah. No.
It's like there's something about Mary, but with a jellyfish stuck in your head. okay. Oh, this app says it's a babblefish.
Huh.
Weird.
And then it translates and says, huh, but in French, like a French accent.
The fish said that. Like, oh, the pocket game computer app I have is lighting up.
Oh, that's from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, that game. Yeah.
Cool.
Well. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
Listening to Abject Suffering. Abject? In my suffering? It's more likely than you think.
Yeah. This week we're talking about The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. An infamously difficult, text adventure game, Infocom game. We're actually specifically talking about... at least the way
remake.
And it's not different. So specifically talking about is a bad way to put it. No, they did like a 30th anniversary edition that added like a GUI and stuff like that. It's actually kind of neat. Yeah. And this was demanded. This is a Patreon demand. Let me get to it here very quickly. Hitchhikers. There we go. By Cinder Elf. There we go.
Oh, thank you, Cinder Elf.
Yeah, saying Douglas Adams is my all-time favorite writer, probably more for the Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency and Last Chance to See than for Hitchhiker, even if Hitchhiker was my first exposure to his work. That being said, I can't really say I am much of a fan of his first video game. Neither am I.
I'm more of a Starship Titanic person. Is that what Cinder Elf's trying to tell us?
Maybe. I didn't know Douglas Adams made other video games.
I also find this rough stuff.
It's specifically made to troll you is kind of the thing. And if you are not in the context where the trolling is, you know, going to hit you, it'll just end up being really off-putting and frustrating, which is how I received it. Like when I first got my iPod Touch and started playing mm-hmm. it on Frotz, because I dug at least reputation. The first book. Yeah, yeah, and also yeah, like people talk about this, like, hey, Text Adventures, you know, this is Infocom, this is them doing good stuff. You like Hitchhiker's Guide, don't you? And like this, and then it turns out, oh, this is like hateful nonsense.
Well, it's Steve Moretzky as well, who did like A Mind Forever Voyaging, and
yeah,
you know, did good games.
Leather Goddesses of Phobos,
which is supposed to be good and funny, even if it is like it's in, you know, I don't know it, but so there's no, it's not like there's no pedigree to this. Mm-hmm. I have definitely made multiple run-ups against this, and it's too difficult for Gary. Yes. Before we get too far into it, though, I have a character I've been working on.
Okay.
I usually try to interrupt you earlier in that, but I was trying to be polite.
Okay.
In this scenario, and this isn't going to be like 20 minutes. I know we don't have time. In this scenario, a new barbecue restaurant has opened up in your neighborhood.
Okay.
And you can go outside. It's post-COVID. And you go into the restaurant to check it out, and you're the only person there, and that's the setup.
That's a bad sign. Okay.
New restaurant.
Right, right. So I just walk in?
Yep.
Okay. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, hello. Hello there.
Hi. Hey. Welcome. Me. Yeah. You already welcomed me. Hey,
I just said hi. Sorry, I've just been a little busy. We've been getting ready here.
No, you guys just kind of popped up out of nowhere, huh?
Welcome to Barbecuties. do you have a seat?
Okay.
Do you want some water or anything?
Oh, I'm having usually barbecue. You end up you order at the counter. Yeah, and I'll take some water.
We do.
Oh, you did say tables. So did say barbecue. Yeah, yeah, I couldn't quite see the sign. Did you say Barbecuties?
Yeah, Barbecuties is the name.
Okay.
But we're not like other barbecue restaurants.
Okay.
Do you want some water?
Yeah, no, I would like some. I would like some water. I'll reserve. I usually like to have like a root beer with my. Yeah, yeah. I'll go, bring me a water now, and then some root beer later on.
Some root beer later. Water now, then beer later. Okay. Here you go. Here's some water.
All right.
You may notice that we're not like other barbecue restaurants.
No. Okay. Like what specifically? I mean, I know I'm the only person here, but I figured it's an off time. I eat at weird times. Okay.
Do you want a hint?
Sure.
All right. Ready?
Okay. So you're sniffling in case I didn't come through.
Do you smell that? No scent. You can't smell barbecue.
Okay.
Do you know why? It's because we're not like other barbecue restaurants.
Okay. So that weird. I like the way that a barbecue restaurant smells. That's part of the experience. So I always want to know why. Why did you decide to do this?
Well, it's actually a side effect of our revolutionary cooking method.
Okay. Yeah. No, hit me with
it. Well, it's going to depend on what you want. So we have chicken, hot links, brisket, pulled pork. Which of those ribs? What sounds good?
What part of the country are we in?
We're in your home, the town where you live.
Okay, let's do pulled pork.
Okay, so the reason why you're not smelling anything is because I have that pulled pork cooking at 30 degrees for over 17 days. That's right, low and slow. Lower and slower than you've ever experienced before.
So you're working kind of on like you're making century egg barbecue.
Oh yeah, like okay. Everybody loves low and slow barbecue. But I thought, what if you went slower and what if you went way lower?
Right. No. You take it as far as it can go. Okay. So it's mm-hmm. so it's extreme. How do you make that profitable? Because.
We're going to charge you for the meat.
I mean, yeah, I didn't expect you to give it away for free, but like, it's weird. It's kind of like you're running like a distillery here. Like, oh, I'm going to start selling whiskey. I can't sell a single thing for 10 years.
Well, we've been having the food cooking low and slow while we set up, while we did construction, while I did all the marketing and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it's 30 degrees at 17 days. So it's not like it's whiskey aged.
Right. So do you mean 30 degrees Celsius, or are we talking 30? Like, because that's less than
Fahrenheit. Yeah, we go low,
sir.
We go really low and slow,
sir. That meat is technically refrigerated if it's at 30 degrees.
No, that's how you cook it. When you cook barbecue, you cook it incredibly low, and then you go incredibly slow. Here's your plate of meat.
Okay. Yeah. This is really hard. Yeah. No, you hear that? Here. You know. Let's...
Yeah. Well, you haven't tasted it yet.
Yeah. So like, it's still. I mean, like, it's pink. And the thing is, it's like it's freezer burned too. Mm-hmm. It looks like you just kind of put it on a tray and you put it in a freezer.
Can't cook without burning.
No, you absolutely. Okay. All right. Okay. Let me take. Okay. I just have to.
Is it good?
And get like a.
Yeah, you're good. Low and slow, baby.
You
low
fucking genius. This is so fucking. This is so good.
I know, right?
Whoa.
It's man, wait until you have the chicken.
Yeah, no, we do that at 10 degrees. Yeah.
Over 3 weeks. Very low, very slow.
Yeah, no, bring that out, man.
Here, yeah. Try a wing on me, brother.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that thing where I throw it into my reverse elbow and then bounce it into your mouth.
Yeah, okay. No. I'm going to catch it here, and you should make this a thing. Okay, so I'm holding on to it here. You know how like Dairy Queen, when you buy a Blizzard, they turn it upside down to demonstrate how thick it is. So all you got to do, have a bell at every table. I'm just picking up this root beer bottle here. Have a bell at every table. Mm-hmm. When you bring something new, you have the customer. Mm-hmm. Yep. That right there.
Ring the wing.
Yep. You ring the wing.
Ringer's on patrol.
If it doesn't ring, you're worth the wings for free.
Yeah. If it doesn't ring, we throw it back in the cook.
Yep. Yeah,
well, it needs some work. I'll work on that expression. Right now, we just have barbecuties, low and slow barbecue.
Yeah, no. No, I was wondering why low was spelled with, why both low and slow were spelled with like five W's. It's low and slow.
It's that southern way that we like to make barbecue.
That incredibly, it's that Antarctic way.
Yes, very southern.
Are you looking for partners? Because like I've got a $10,000 check right here. I'm going to buy in shares, man.
Hell yes,
let's do it.
Here, that calls for a hot link toast. Clink and see.
All right,
see, that idea wasn't like 25 minutes. It wasn't like my last really good idea.
I may have stretched out the piss two. I may have stretched out piss two with obstinate questions.
See, this time, you know, just to go along with it.
Yeah.
We get to the joke, and then we don't want to keep torturing listeners.
Nope. Like,
so.
No.
The Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yes.
I like the graphic elements of this thing, because I think that one of the most tedious things about playing a text adventure is remembering what's inside the room.
Yes. I am always wasting turns or what have you, typing look. Because oftentimes like the text buffer falls out, I can't go up and look at it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. It's neat just to have a little representation of what room is, you know, what is in the room and what is connected.
Yeah. And other than that though, I barely got anywhere in this. I know this by reputation.
Yes.
You know, specifically the Babblefish puzzle is supposed to be this legendary nightmare.
Oh yeah.
Kind of thing. I've read about that.
Mm-hmm. Tons of dependencies. You only have so many turns at the start. To get out of the house.
I did
before,
get killed.
Yeah. Before the Vorgons come and pave over Earth.
Well, you get killed from the bulldozer first.
Yes.
There I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I mixed that up. You also have to like basically collect everything, because later on in the story, Marvin needs a tool to do, to accomplish something. And if you're missing any of the things you could have picked up on Earth before it got destroyed, that is the thing that he will need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, when you first talk to Ford Prefect, he offers you a towel and you should not take it.
No, which is counter to everything.
Yeah, that's
there's
not,
one
that's
thing
not
that I know.
Is.
If there's one thing that I know about Hitchhiker's Guide, Douglas.
Yep.
Yeah.
It likes the towels.
Yeah.
This the Hardcore Gaming 101 thing points this out. This is such a weird game because it simultaneously like requires knowledge of the books but punishes knowledge of the books.
Yes.
you know, because you kind of need to know what the basic shape of the story is and what you should do and what's going to happen.
Right.
But if you try to recreate that perfectly, like, you're doomed to fail.
Mm-hmm.
That's real, like a real weird, this is in a weird place.
Yeah. Like it is a test that will, it's a quiz that will punish you if you get 100%.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a weird move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, like, Douglas Adams had adapted this so many times, and each of the adaptations kind of needed to be a different thing that was kind of going to happen a little bit.
Yeah.
But even as, like, an adaptation, like, this doesn't really, like, describe who or what a character is, like, to the point where I think, like, when you meet Zaphod and Trillian, it's like, oh, you see them, they're vaguely familiar, and then you just go on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically saying, like, you read the fucking book, you nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are good books. Did you read those?
I've only read the first one. And I was, like, late to the party. I read it in college because I was looking for something, like, light to read over like summer break. Or during summer break, not over the course of it. Hi, here's a 130 page book that I stretched out over 3 months.
Yeah, I read 4 pages a day and then I gotta go to sleep. I gotta drink a Gatorade and rehydrate.
Yep. No. So I've only read the first one, and like I dig it. It's the right amount of silly. It is well observed. I like it. It is kind of the right combination of humanist and absurdist. You know. Yeah, like I dig it, and I like the wordplay and stuff inherent to it. They're good. I like them.
I like them quite a bit. They are a thing where, like, you know, it reminds you of that, like, never judge anybody by the worst of their fans.
Yeah, people going around saying they have 42. yeah
like there's a way to not like this book by proxy of not liking people who like the book.
Yeah, because it's incredibly, you know, it's basically like in the pre-internet days, which I'm counting as like before the year 2000, it was one of those things along with like Monty Python and Star Wars where like that could just be your thing, that you were the person who knew this.
Yeah. Monty Python is very much,
yeah,
you're related to this, like the same. There's probably like tons of crossover.
Yeah. Especially like in pieces of British culture that made their way over here to America. I have no idea, like, what the mid-90s fan base for Hitchhiker's Guide was like in Britain. I just imagine there has always been an adaptation of this running on the BBC, so, like, maybe it never, like, became obscure enough that it could become somebody's personality.
Have you seen the BBC TV series?
No.
Of it before? So, there's a character named Zaphod Beeblebrox, who has two heads. In the books, he just has two heads. In the more recent movie, the head is like under Sam Rockwell's neck.
Yeah.
In one of, like, the most terrifying things that I've ever seen on a screen.
It deploys very quickly. It deploys almost exactly like I had Power Rangers toys, where it would go back and forth between the Power Ranger head and like the regular teenager head, but like the teenager head and the Power Ranger head switch places inside of the chest cavity, and they switch, and it swiveled as the shoulder. Yeah, exactly the same thing. That's what they did with Zaphod. I liked that performance. That was a good performance of Sam Rockwell.
I like that movie.
That's
In general. In the BBC version, it's an actor with a gigantic paper mache, like, puppet head, basically, that every once in a while just goes. It's so scary.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's,
I
like,
love that.
It'd be like if I grew another head and it didn't have a brain in it or anything.
Right.
But still had something to say. Like, it's so scary.
Wait, like, aren't you just talking about any show that I'm on?
I don't know if it was like the sound mixing in that is very bad, so I don't know if it's supposed to be legible or if it's just like, oh, we just have a puppet where we can move its mouth every once in a while and make it moan.
Yeah, we're just gonna,
like,
do
have,
like,
a dying puppet.
We're just gonna do a very, like, close cut in on this very obviously fake thing and play, like, whale song.
Like, it is really weird and scary.
And
he's supposed to be like a pretty, like, you know, like Zaphod Beeblebrox supposed to be this sexy, dashing Han Solo type.
Yeah,
you know, so like, yeah, it was always just very strange decision. I thought
yeah I've always kind of like had it in the back, you know, in my back pocket to go back to some of these books and read some of Douglas Adams' other stuff, because I imagine that's like something that like holds up and also would be very breezy.
It is both of those things in my experience. Yeah. It's pretty fun. I only read the first Dirk Gently's, but it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I did read So Long and Thanks for All the Fish, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good stuff. Or like did Cinder Elf, did I mention that or Last Chance to See?
Cinder Elf mentioned both of those, I think, here. Probably more for writing, for writing Dirk Gently and also Last Chance to See.
Yeah, Last Chance to See is very sweet. It's about conservation, basically, and just, you know, like their animals are going to disappear.
No.
You know, Last Chance to See. But good stuff.
Yeah. And also, like, this is a little bit rare in terms of like being a video game based on something where the creator of the game is one of the main people involved with making the adaptation, right?
Yeah.
Like getting Douglas Adams in here with Steve Moretzky, Douglas Adams, who understands like his tone and his universe and source material, and Moretzky, who understands puzzles, like that had to have been a really fun collaboration for both of them.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally, totally, totally.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of Game Facts Gold, even though I wanted there to be, because there is a good amount of Game Facts content.
Yes.
There's a weird review title where the game sure to give you carpal tunnel syndrome. And I think that's a weird thing to say. Because you do type in it, which can give you carpal tunnel syndrome, but you're not like, you know, trying to get high WPMs or anything.
No. I think that they're just trying to. They're just trying to say, like, this thing is so good that it will give you health problems.
Oh, like a 90s video game ad.
Yes. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like, here's, you know, like.
Here comes priapism with the Battletoads. You know?
Like, our ad is just going to be a picture of a bunch of diapers because you're not going to be able to put this game down. And I was like, oh, there's a picture of just like a shitty little baby down in the corners, like crying.
Yeah. There's a Battletoad drowning a baby in a diaper. And then it's just like what you see, gamers. Yeah. Zitz is ready for you. And you're like, what the fuck? Like,
uh-oh. Yeah.
I don't care for that.
Shane Bettenhausen is a really good person to follow on Twitter. He very frequently finds he tends to post like a lot of nostalgic stuff, but also like he will find like ads and shit and reshare them. You know, it's basically like really shitty 90s ads for video games, which is definitely a genre.
Have we done Battletoads for this show?
Oh, no, we haven't done that.
That's got to be an anniversary or a live episode or something.
Yeah.
Like the concept of a battling toad has been tickling me a lot lately.
Well, because of fucking remake that came out of nowhere. Yeah.
And just the idea of like a freestanding battle toad has been making me laugh in my like quarantine zone.
Yeah.
Like, give me something in a freestanding battle. Like, can I get an a la carte battle toad?
Yeah. Just, like, just every citizen is allocated one battle toad.
One battle toad, yeah. Like if you every citizen gets four bushels of grain, two sows, a battle toad, and a cask of ale.
One pint of Liberty Gin. And a Liberty mandatory battle toad that you cannot turn off.
Yeah. We went to the Ministry of Peace Toad in order to to learn about Battletoads.
Yes.
It was ironic, you see.
We found the moon prison that is full of all of the most belligerent toads. And we have brought them back because our countrymen deserve only the most quarrelsome of amphibians. Yeah.
God, I love a battle. Just as a concept, I don't think any of those are good games.
No.
But as a concept of Battletoad is just so funny to me. Just dying. I just Google image search Battletoad and it's fucking cracking me up. Like, even just looking at a bunch of images of these dudes in sunglasses doing drop kicks and shit. Like, why are they so cool?
Yep. Because they were made to be.
Yeah, they were made to show the turtles weren't cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which I was partisan about as a kid.
Yeah.
Anywho, we'll save that for the inevitable Battletoads episode.
Yes. Yeah. We have an anniversary episode coming up. But...
Well, I think Battletoads might have to be the one.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? If you like this show, head on over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Mm-hmm.
And give us some money.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
And it's not just a give. There's also a take. You get to take lots of episodes of premium content. Two bonus episodes just for patrons that come out every month of this show. And also whole shows like Unfilmable and Bonfireside Chat, premium episodes of Watch Out for Fireballs, all of that at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
And what else should they do?
Well, Gary, they should keep that tab open here we go. No, it's in the app. Gary, until next time, as at Rugby Scan always says, the fissionable material shall remain hidden until our demands are met.
Umbasa.